Great, great, great. Now it's time to get back to work and finish out this stretch. Last time we were together, we were talking about the imagination. And the imagination is the thing that sets the tone for what our faith shoots for. So we spent a lot of time talking about how to properly maintain our imaginations, how to direct our imaginations, how effective our imaginations can be. One of the things that we have to do with the Word of God is allow the Word of God to shape our imaginations. The way that your imagination is shaped is simply by taking the Word of God and renewing your mind. Taking the Word of God and seeing what God says about you in the Word. So your imagination is developed and set. When you develop and set it on the promises of God, you could become who God designed you to be. Meditation is a great way to develop your imagination. Meditation, not just meditation, meditation on the Word of God. What a hitting secrets. By the way, you have sound? You good? All right, good. One of the hidden secrets of meditation, we've let the world system made the word meditation taboo to us Christians. Even though we see the word meditate in Joshua 1 and 8, and we see it again in Psalms, the first chapter, verse 3, even though we see that word, most times we think about meditation, we think something yoga, we think in deep Eastern religion meditation, you think of those things. But all meditation really is to turn from the outside to go to the inside. That's what meditation is. And when you meditate, listen to that, when you meditate the Word of God, it gives the Holy Spirit a chance to get involved with your thoughts. All right? In Isaiah 1 and 19, it says, if you're willing and obedient, you should eat the good of the land, right? But we don't read verse 18. Verse 18 says, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Saith the Lord. So all God is saying, let's put our thoughts together. Other words, see what I'm saying about you. Jeremiah 29 and 11. God said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. So one thing that we can know, that if there's anything, any imagination, any thought that comes up that is contrary to me having a good life, I already know it's not coming from God. And I need to eliminate it. I can't dwell on it. I can't let it become, here's another word we're scared of. I can't let it become part of my psyche, which is my thought process. And once it becomes a part of my thought process, it will intertwine itself into my imagination. And so I don't want it to get intertwined into my imagination. My imagination should only contain what I want to happen in my life that's good. Are you seeing this? In order to meditate, go to Joshua 1 and 8, because we talked about this, but this is very important. You have to take time to set your imagination. This does not happen automatically. You have to take time to imagine. You have to take time to sit there and daydream. See, some of us are cool with dreaming at night, but sometimes you got to on purpose dream during the day. Notice what I said, on purpose, dream during the day. You have to take time, and it's not the easiest thing to do. because your mind wanders when you sit there quietly. But you got to pull your mind back to where you want it to be. You're in control of it. You're in control of your mind. You can literally tell yourself, mind, get back to what I want to do. Get back to imagining, whatever it may be. We should not try to accomplish anything before our imagination has time to plan it. Never try to accomplish anything without first giving your imagination a chance to plan it. Watch this now. God say, come let us what?
Reason
together. Turn there, because I need you to see this. I need you to see this. We're in Joshua 1:8, but turn to Isaiah 1:18. Verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. All right. Who's saying this?
The Lord.
The Lord. All right. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be like red crimson, they shall be as wool. That word sins just simply means your actions. That's all that word really means, your actions. What you're going to do. God said, come let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Other words, when you imagine, you sit down and imagine, and you allow me to imagine with you, I will let you discover the pathway you're supposed to take. So that when it's time to execute, you won't make any missteps and you won't make no mistakes. That can't happen if you hadn't first let your imagination go where you want to go. Are you seeing this? If your imagination can't go there before you get there, then you won't know how to get there. If you don't see yourself living in your dream home, you'll never know how to get there. If you don't see yourself owning the business that you dreamed on, if you don't see yourself owning it, you'll never know how to get there. You'll never know what steps to take to get there. Your imagination has got to always precede you. Always. Always. I got an example for you. Go to Genesis, the first chapter. Watch this. Now, when I show you this, you're gonna realize how important your imagination is. Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. Image. Let us make man in our image. Image is the root word of. So here it is, God made us how he imagined us. Other words, his imagination went before we came. Are y'all seeing this? God said, let us make man after our what?
Image.
After our. Other words, God said, let us make man after what we imagine of who he's supposed to be, and then we're going to make him just like us. Are y'all saying this? So your imagination always precedes where you're going. Faith gives you the pathway to that place. Because what faith is, what this is what faith is. Faith is not your imagination. Your imagination is gone there. What faith does, faith gives you the pathway to get there. That's why you have to have trust in God and act on his word. Because when your imagination gets, when your imagination goes, God now begins to formulate the path on how to get there. And in order to get there, I got to trust God. What I got to trust about God? That he never lies, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he's not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he'll make it good. His word never returns to him void, right? And I got to do what he's telling me to do. But it doesn't make sense for me to do what he's telling me to do if I don't have nowhere I want to go. No, if I'm not going nowhere, there's no reason to have faith. If I'm not imagining, there's no, listen a minute, if I'm not imagining, there's no pathway for me to follow. That's why people who don't dream don't go nowhere. They don't do nothing in life. And watch this. Here's what Satan does. Watch this. Here's what Satan does. Satan throws challenges in your life so that you'll lose the courage to dream. Because if I can get you to stop dreaming, then you ain't got nowhere to go. Is that making sense? So your imagination is important. People who don't daydream, people who don't meditate, people who don't take time to think about what they want to do, what they want to accomplish. There's no reason to give you instructions to go someplace you don't know where you want to be. Well, this is like you saying we're going on vacation. But where you want to go? I don't know. So if I don't know where I want to go, why do I need a GPS? Why do I need direction? If I don't know, if we say, we all going to go on a vacation. We all going to go. Where are we going to go? Well, we don't know. I mean, literally, we want to go to a certain place. We don't know if we want to go to Pensacola, Florida. We don't know if we're going to Anchorage, Alaska. We don't know. So therefore, if I don't know where I want to go, there's no reason for me to get any GPS directions on what left turns or right turns to make. What interstate I get on. Why? I don't know where I want to go. So this is why people don't get clear direction for their life. Because they don't know where they want to go. They haven't imagined it. Why they haven't imagined it? They haven't imagined it or even tried to take thought about it is because they let the cares of this world take it from them. Excuse me. You have to dare to be dream. You have to dare to dream. You have to dare it takes effort to do this. This is not something that you can just carelessly, haphazardly do. You have to on purpose. Imagine. Don't be concerned about. Don't be concerned from the start if it's the will of God. Because once you involve God in your imagination, he will tweak it. Amen. He will tweak it and say, okay, I see where you're going, but how about doing this instead? How about going this direction instead? Are y'all seeing this? See, people are so gung-ho on, I want to do the will of God. Yeah, I want to do the will of God too. But if you ain't imagining nothing, how you know which direction to go in? Don't you see, once again, faith is trusting and acting, right? So I have to trust God that if I'm imagining I'm going the wrong direction, I have to trust him that he's going to stop me and turn my direction. But the point is, I'm moving. Go to Galatians 6 and 9. Why do you think God said, the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 6 and 9, be not weary in well doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Be not weary in well doing is because sometimes in doing good, it seems like we ain't gaining no ground. But it could possibly be that we might not be going in the right direction doing good. But if I just stop and give up, I can never find out if I'm going the wrong direction. If I'm not moving nowhere, if I'm not going anywhere, if I'm not doing nothing, I never know if I'm doing it right or doing it wrong. So the Holy Spirit don't have a chance to point me in the right direction because I'm not doing anything. I'm not imagining nothing. I'm not thinking about advancing. I'm not thinking about going forward. I'm not thinking about doing something different. I'm just a Christian. I'm just here. And that's why many Christians begin to look at heaven trying to bypass life. Are y'all seeing this? So your imagination is very, very important. Your faith can't go nowhere if you're not imagining nothing. Jesus said in Hebrews 12:2, Jesus, who the joy that was what? Set before him. That's imagination. Jesus was imagining what was going to happen once he laid down his life. So it gave him the courage to do it. Is that making sense? See, let me use this word. If you don't dream, that's what your imagination is. If you don't dream, you really, what you here for? Because you can't just sit and exist. If you exist, the challenges from the world are going to whoop you left and right. But when you dream, it gives you a chance to move forward. It gives you a chance to accomplish something that God has planned for you. See, what we fail to realize is that God is not going to do this for us. Everything God has done for us, he's already done. Some things we're going to have to get out and do. Is that making sense? And watch this. When I talk about doing, I'm not talking about self-effort. I'm not talking about your self-effort and your abilities. I'm simply talking about moving in a direction where God wants you to go and let him push you there. See, if you don't decide to move, if you don't decide to go somewhere, if you don't decide to do something, God ain't gonna do nothing. Isaiah 1. Back to Isaiah 1. Watch this. Now you can go to verse 19. He said, come, let us reason together, said the Lord of hosts, verse 18. Your sins, I'm going to change your direction. Whatever I don't agree with, whatever I hadn't planned for you, I'll make sure you change so you can work things to work out in your favor. But the verse 18 ain't done. You ain't done nothing yet. Right? Then you get to verse 19. If ye be, and do you see that? That's the doing part. So I don't eat the good of the land until I'm doing something. Are y'all seeing this? See, prime example. I can imagine about the harvest all day long. I can imagine about receiving the harvest all day long. But until I do something, sow the seed, all I'm doing is imagining. But if I don't imagine, I ain't going to have no instruction to do nothing. You see how the two work together? See, most Christians either just doing stuff, and watch this, most Christians going through the religious motion. You know, they praying. You know, they're going to church. you know, they go to prayer. They're doing the brotherly love thing, the sisterly love thing. They're trying to do the Bible as best they can, but they ain't got no imagination. So therefore, you're not getting no specific instructions. You're not getting no specific direction. Everybody that did something for God had an imagination. Everybody that did something for God had an imagination. If they didn't have an imagination, they have nothing they'll be walking towards. Are y'all seeing this? See, we as people, we as Christian people, this is why this subject on the soul is so important. We get so super spiritual that we're scared to use the tool that God gave us. God gave us our imagination. Why he gave you imagination? So you can go somewhere before you get there. Because if I can put you there before you get there, then God says it's easier. Listen to what I'm saying. It's easier for you to receive the instructions on how to get there. If you know where you want to go. It was easier for God to give Joshua the instructions on how to bring the walls of Jericho down because he made Joshua see. He said, Joshua, see, I've given you Jericho, which made it easier for God to give him the instructions on how to get Jericho. Are you seeing this? So your imagination makes it easier to receive instructions from God. It's hard. Once again, watch this illustration. We all say we're going on vacation tomorrow, but we don't know where we want to go. So if we don't know where we want to go, how do we know to type in to Google to get directions? If you can't tell Google where you want to go, Google can't give you directions. If you don't know where you want to go, God can't give you directions on how to get there. Now, watch this now. God already knows where he wants you to go. But it doesn't matter if God knows where he wants you to go. You got to know where you want to go. And if you don't know where you want to go, God can know. Wait, matter of fact, no, let me rephrase that. God knows where he wants you to go. And he knows how to get there. But if you don't know where you want to go, then you ain't gonna find out how you can get there. I hope y'all grasping this. I hope this is challenging you. Those watching my internet, I hope this is challenging you to dream, to use your imagination, to think about it, to use this God-given gift that we have of imagination. See yourself in certain places. See yourself doing certain things. See yourself accomplishing what you want to accomplish. I don't get hung up on if it's the will of God or not. You'll find out. See, the thing is, we so hung up on trying to find the will of God, and God is trying to find out what you want to do. And God, see, and once that happens, that's why you say, come, let us reason together. When we reason together, I'm going to tweak your imagination. I'm going to change what needs to be changed. But it's still, and we get to the next aspect of the soul next week, the will. You have to decide. God has already decided. Go to Ephesians, the first chapter. God already decided. Ephesians, the first chapter, the third verse. watch this. Blessed be the God, this is Paul, right? Apostle Paul, right? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath empowered us to prosper with all spiritual empowerments to prosper in heavenly places in Christ. In heavenly places, not heaven places. Heavenly places like heaven. So this ain't talking about heaven. It's talking about some place like heaven. You ain't existed but two places. You either gonna be here, three places, here, heaven, or hell. That's the only three places you can be. Here, heaven, or hell. Now, like I said, I hope you ain't going to hell. Are you seeing that? So heaven-like places got to be talking about here. He's already empowered us. You already have the power. But the power has to be directed. What directs the power? Your imagination. So if you're not imagining, watch this, watch this. Verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having what? Predestined, predestinated before destiny unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory, or to the praise of the success. That's the word glory means. To the praise of the success of his favor, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. All that's saying is, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. So therefore, but I have to be able to imagine the expected end. If I don't imagine the expected end, that means God can't even begin to give me instructions, because I have no desire to go there. Why I have no desire to go there? Because I don't know where I'm going. See, this is why you have to look at the house you want. You have to look in the neighborhood you want to live in. You have to see these things. You have to see that. See, one of the things with success, and this is why you can't hate on nobody who is successful, because they give you a picture. Most people turn their nose up at people who are successful. Now, watch this. Why do they turn their nose up at people who are successful? What leads to that? A scarcity mentality, which means they have a dried up imagination. See, anybody who becomes successful ain't taking what's mine. They hadn't taken what's mine. It's impossible. Let me tell you why it's impossible. If they were able to take what's mine, then God ain't God. And God is a poor planner. How many of y'all know that he's not a poor planner? God has the greatest imagination ever. Because when he created Adam and Eve, that's why he put the law of seed, time, and harvest. That's why everything reproduces after his own kind. Stuff's still multiplying. Opportunities are multiplying, money is multiplying, time. So therefore, when I see somebody being successful, it should fuel my imagination, not fuel my envy. It's a trick of the enemy for it to fuel your envy or fuel your jealousy rather than fuel your imagination. The question should be is, why I can't do that? begin to imagine yourself doing it. Once again, once you imagine yourself doing it, that's when God can give you instructions on what to do. Is this making sense? See, we don't use our imagination. We don't use our imagination like God wants us to use our imagination. God designed our imagination to be a launching pad for us to do, for us doing the impossible. In your mind, the only thing that becomes impossible is what you say becomes impossible. Because you can imagine anything you want to imagine. Watch this. I'm about to say two words, and I promise you, you're going to create it, even though you've never seen it. As soon as I said, you're going to create it, and you've never seen it. In your imagination, a pink elephant. Have anybody ever seen one before? So how are you able to put the pink and the elephant together? Because of your imagination. Not as frivolous and as trivial that may be, it just shows you the power of your imagination. So now what if I take that same power and see, and watch this. I've never seen myself living in my dream home. But now I take my imagination and I'm able to go and walk through the closet. I'm able to walk through my living room. I'm able to walk out in my backyard. I'm able to flip the light switch on in my kitchen. I'm able to press whatever buttons I want to whatever gadget I want that's somewhere in my house. I can imagine that. See, this is not hocus pocus. This is not science of the mind. This is God's ability God has given us that we're not using. So when I imagine, I am going someplace that I haven't been before. So when I go to that place I haven't been before, I begin to reason with God, and God begins to show me the pathway on how to get there. Is this making sense? See, I want you to begin to, on a daily practice, use your imagination. The enemy is going to come up and say, hey, you use your imagination for stuff. Tell him, go to hell. The Bible says, I think it's Psalms, 37:4? Did I say it right, 37:4? Mm-hmm. Delight yourself in the Lord. Yes. And what he's going to do? Of your what?
Heart.
Of your what?
Heart.
Of your what?
Heart. Your mind, your will, your emotions.
Hebrews, I think it's 10. And 36. Turn there. We'll close here. This scripture puzzled me, because I was always under the impression that if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you, right? Right? But this scripture, Hebrews 10:36, says, for ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, right? In order for me to do the will of God, I had to seek first. I had to go find out the will of God was, right? That after you've done the will of God, wait a minute, you might. You might. Wait a minute. I thought if I'd done what God wanted me to do, I received the promise. But this is saying I might. Why is that word might there? Might give this statement a sense of condition. It's conditional. You might receive it and you might not. Do you know what that's based on? Whether you receive it or not? Your desires. Because, watch this, if you're desiring nothing, he'll give you the desire of your heart. He'll give it to you. He'll give you nothing. If that's the desires of your heart, that's what God will give you. Nothing. So now this, we're starting to learn that my imagination plays a bigger part in what I receive. It plays a bigger part in what I receive than what I do. If I'm not expecting a harvest, I can give all day long. But if I'm not expecting one, he'll give you the desires of your heart. See, Satan really has nothing to do with this. Satan has nothing to do with the process of your imagination but try to cloud your judgment. He's powerless. So everything that you either don't have or wanting to get, it begins with your imagination. Apostle said all the time, he said, I saw myself pastoring a strong church. He said all the time, he said, I saw myself doing it. We were just sitting at a table. We were sitting at a table just yesterday, and it was our family for Sunday lunch. My wife sits here, I sit here, my daughter, my two daughters sit there, my son, and then my brother-in-law sits across from me, my sister sits across from my wife, their son, their younger sons are in the kitchen area, then Montreal, then mom, then Apostle, Darnell, and Deidre. And we're sitting there, and my mom just looked, and we was talking about what they was asking my daughters and Shauna's son what they want to be. And Lauren told her, I want to be an interior designer. Layla said, I hadn't really decided yet. Jay said, I hadn't really decided yet. And my mom just all of a sudden said, I just always knew I was going to be something. Then my daddy said, yeah, he said, I ain't really do good in school. He said, I ain't really like school, but he said, I just always knew I was going to be something. So I'm sitting there thinking, and I told them, and learned from it, and then they instilled in us, in me and my siblings, y'all can be whatever you want to be. So what I realized what they were doing was cultivating our imagination, because somebody cultivated their imagination. Now here is something about imagination. As I said, I was in school. He was in school doing segregation. And he always thought he was going to be something. Are you seeing this? So what Satan does is Satan, watch this. Satan is always trying to take away your imagination. That's why he throws challenges in your life. That's why he throws situations in your life so he can take away your dreaming. Because if he can take away your dreaming, then I've just stopped direction from coming. Yes. If I could take away your imagination, I just stopped direction from coming. If I could take away your dreaming, there's no reason for direction to come. Because you have nowhere you're planning on going. Don't let Satan take your imagination away. I don't care how much you've been through. Because when he takes away your dreaming, when he takes it away, God really has nothing to speak to you about. When he takes your dreaming away, if you're in a situation or you're dealing with a problem and you don't like it, begin to dream what it would be like to have that problem solved. Dream what it would be like. So when you're sitting there and you use your imagination of what it'd be like not to have this going on, then God can begin to talk to you. can begin to speak to you on what to do so that can come to pass. That's what faith is. But faith can't exist without somewhere to go. Faith is always moving. It's not nothing standing still. Faith is not what you believe in. Faith is what you're doing because of what you believe in. So therefore, if Satan, that's why Satan throws the cares of the world at you. That's why Satan throws those distractions, because he don't want you using your imagination. Because if he can get you to stop using your imagination, then therefore you have no need for direction. You have no need for revelation. You have no need to discover the good and acceptable and perfect will of God if you have no way you want to go. Where you, God is waiting on you to decide on where you want to go. The mechanism for how he want to get you there has already been established. But he's waiting on you to decide on where you want to go. He decided on you where you want to live. He decided on you for you to decide on what you want to drive. He's waiting on you to decide how you want to create your income. He's waiting on you to decide that. And don't worry about if you're totally accurate or not. When you begin to imagine and involve God, come let us reason together, God will tweak whatever needs to be tweaked. But he can't tweak nothing if there's nothing to tweak. Are y'all grabbing this? I don't care who took any, I don't care who took your dreams away. I don't care what life has thrown at you. You have got to learn to dream again. You've got to learn. Listen a minute. You've got to learn to use your imagination. You've got to take time and see yourself where you want to be. When you see yourself where you want to be, it makes it easier to receive direction on how to get there. Are you hearing me? 5, 10 minutes. If you can't do 10 minutes, start with 5. If you can't start with 5, do 2. If you can't do 2, do 1. Work your way up. But you got to take time every day to sit there and imagine. I dream every day. I dream. I don't dream too good at night. Don't ask me why. I don't know. But I dream wonderful during the day. Amen. I dream wonderful. I see myself. Amen. I see myself doing things. I see myself accomplishing things. I see myself doing what I want to do. I see myself accomplishing what I need to accomplish. And God speaks to me on how to get there. Some things I dream about, God say, oh, that's not a real important dream. Okay, God, I trust you. I change it. See, don't be afraid to change a dream. That's what come let us reason together mean. You might think God is going to go this direction, and you begin to imagine. God say, nope, add this to it. Take this out. And you begin to imagine that. Say, God say, okay, now I can tell you how to get there. Never be afraid to get your dream tweaked by God. Because if God tweaks your dream, if God tweaks your imagination, there is something he sees that he wants you to avoid. And so if we keep forcing the issue, he'll let you go there, but then you're going to be on your own dealing with what he saw you didn't have to deal with. He won't leave you stranded. He'll help you get out of it, but it's something that you didn't have to deal with. I'll see y'all next week.